Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
I figured you would have something huge for the return of the absolute truth.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the absolute truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself. I am back with a vengeance. I am the Hot Rod. And on the line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. How's everybody doing?
All right. And, of course, she's always late. I have on the line, too, is.
Anitra V. And I am not late. I am on time. It is 4 p.m.
I think he's messing with you.
Am I?
How's everybody doing?
Hey, I'm happy to be back. I got the special cranberry on the side. My son is in the next room. I told him to be quiet for the next hour and a half, which good luck to me on that. So let's see how that works out.
A question, Hot Rod.
Yes?
What was the reason why we weren't on last week? Do you want to spread any insight on that last week?
Yeah. It's funny. That's my first note. I'd like to apologize on behalf of to the Absolute Truth fans out there. Anitra B had planned to take me out to lunch with Special Russians last Saturday, and we ate something that was not good with my stomach, and because of that, I was on a toilet all day and the night before.
He had the screaming squits.
Did we go out for lunch in the neighborhood?
And who invited who? You invited me. Those were your friends, your colleagues, not mine.
They tried to rub them out. That's what it was. They tried to rub them out.
What the?
See, Hot Rod, you have to pay attention to all the people you piss off.
Exactly.
And guess what? Guess what time it is then?
It's time to piss people off.
Of course.
Okay, the number to call is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. And ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with the show. Last month on the show, we had a very heated debate regarding Sandra Bland. As you guys recall, that's a woman who died in a jail cell, quote-unquote, hanging from herself. I'm not going to go to the story about that again, because I'm sure most people know what happened back then. Well, we had a caller from D.C. who expressed his views and thoughts and made very valid statements. One statement that caught my attention was, people need to know the law and their rights. And I think that's a problem today with most people. They don't know their rights or the law itself because, for whatever reason, especially the youth. The youth really need to know because knowing the law could save them going to jail or even more importantly, saves them of getting killed. So I'd like to thank the caller from D.C. that gave us that great idea for our topic. Sean Black and Anitra B. In 2015, so far there have been 711 people killed by police.
Good grief.
Wow.
That's reported. I'm not saying black people, white people, or Asian people. 711 people estimated killed by police.
Yeah, I don't think it should matter what race is if you're getting killed by the people that are supposed to be protecting you.
Well, you know, people like to throw in, oh, they're killing only black people. No. Yes, the stories we have been talking about has been about white cop, black cop, but 700 people are regular people who for whatever reason, they got into trouble or they were at the wrong place at the wrong time, got killed by police. The most in every country. Go figure. America, the land of the freedom.
Yeah.
The land of freedom to be killed by police. So, Sean Black and I came up with this topic of, before I start all that, let's be honest with ourselves. What would happen if Sergeant Bland didn't have any attitude or did not talk back towards the officer? Would she be alive today? And same for other people that have not talked back or had attitude. Every situation is different. We were not there for these events that happened. But overall, ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest with ourselves. If we know the law, if we know what to do, maybe, it's not guaranteed, but maybe people will be more alive today. Maybe more people will be less in jail. You never know. So, Sean and I did our research, and there are 10 rules dealing with the police during encounters. After the show, you may want to go to the website of flexyourrights.com for more info and see, to get more knowledge of how to flex your rights, know what to do when it comes to an encounter with a cop. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, this may not guarantee you get out of trouble, but it might guarantee you saving your life because you don't know what's going on with a cop head these days. Sean Black,
exactly.
Let me give you, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready and raring to go.
All right. Okay, rule number one, dealing with a cop at a traffic light or whatever, it could be very frustration. Giving that cop attitude or saying negative things towards the cop is not a good thing. So rule number one, always remain calm, collected, and respectful. A police encounter is the worst time and place to vent your frustration with the police.
Exactly.
Sean Black, take it away.
Well, see,
that's
one of those things that people don't really think about. But when you get into any kind of a confrontation or if you think that there's something is about to happen where a cop is going to pull you over for some sort of reason, whatever it is, appease the cop. Pull over. If the cop asks you, take your keys out of the ignition, roll down the window, give me your registration, whatever it is, if it's a stop in a car or if you're just walking in the street, as the cop asks you a question, say something, be polite, be affable, laugh, provide if anything that can make the experience, because the people don't realize, the cops are human. They do not want to be in a situation where they have to do paperwork. So if you're approached by a police officer, be calm, be respectful, say, hello, officer, is there an issue, and then the officer will probably ask you what the question is that they would like to ask, and then you answer it honestly, politely, no snark, no snide remarks, and move on from there. Because a lot of people don't realize the first encounter with the cop within the first 30 seconds will determine what's going to happen the next 10 minutes. So be respectful and think about that.
That's very true. And there should be any points on that?
No, I agree, and I've said it before. When you're getting pulled over, even if you're getting stopped in the street, be respectful. Even if the cop is having a bad day and antagonizes, be respectful. Bite your tongue. It's 5 minutes of your life. Do what you're asked and move on.
Okay. Let's say you're having a bad day, too.
Use your brain. This is common sense. It's common sense. It's 5 minutes of your life. Bite your tongue, do what you're asked, keep it moving.
Okay.
Well stated.
That's it. It's that simple. Like when people flip out and this, I honestly don't get it.
Yeah.
I've
had
bad
days. Seen an episode of Cops where you've seen cops pull over a guy. I've seen instances on the show where a guy is pulled over for something as normal as a busted taillight, or maybe they have a light that the light bulb went out. So the cop is to pull him over, and you see the guy cursing the cop, "Are you stupid, so-and-so? I'll have your job, and I'll have this, and I'll have that." And then you realize that that person that they, "All right, get out the car, we'll get you arrested," and you find out that this person's got like 15 warrants for arrest, drug dealing, you know, selling children, all the other stuff. He would have been free had he just said, "Okay, thank you, officer, what do I need?
Yeah.
Give me the ticket and keep it moving."
But it's not even being pulled over. Like in, you know, certain subway stations, not all, I haven't seen this in all, but there are subway stations where they still have the tables out with the police, like two or three cops standing behind them, and they'll randomly check.
Yes.
Yeah, they check the bag.
But yeah, but I've walked, like I've actually seen pedestrians scream at cops for that. Dude.
Yes.
5 minutes of your life.
True, as a New Yorker, you're always in a rush to go somewhere. That person is probably in a rush to go to work.
But that cop can cause so much drama for you. Why?
And they're really there only to help. I mean,
exactly.
If you think about it, we've seen that happen in regular train stations here in the New York City area, mostly because of 9/11. Once 9/11 happened, we saw random checks in stations with tables. Let me check your bag, sir, da-da-da-da-da. And I've been lucky enough where I've only had my bag checked twice or three times since then. It's very, very random. But at the same time, you know it's only for your safety. They're not doing it just to hassle you. They want to make sure that everything is safe. So do what the cops say.
Exactly.
Okay.
For instance, I had jury duty a couple months ago. So I was in a rush because I was on time, but I haven't been to the building in so long. I wasn't really sure if I remembered where it was. So I was trying to give myself, you know, enough time.
Okay.
And I got stopped. You know, it was that random check thing at the train station.
Yeah.
I was in a rush. I could have been like, screw you, but no. I stopped. I smiled. "Yes, officer. How can I help you?" He asked me to open my bag. I did. He checked with that little flashlight thing. And I kept it moving.
Just 2 minutes. 2 minutes as opposed to 2 hours at the station for being silly.
Exactly. Like, when people do that, I don't get it. And then they bitch. But this is what happened to me. "Well, why do you think it happened, dummy?"
Okay. I think everybody's back with a vengeance. Hello. Okay, Shaw. Shaw, can you read number two, please?
Yes, number two. You have the right to remain silent. I want you, everybody, to remember that. When you hear people read the Miranda rights and you have the right to remain silent, exercise your right to remain silent. Not talking is the smartest way to exercise your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. In other words, shut the hell up. If the officer is saying, "Well, you know, because of certain instance, you know, I want to ask you such and such and such," if you do not want to incriminate yourself, even if you know nothing about what the police officer is asking you about, "I am going to use my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, and that is exactly what I'm going to do." And the cop cannot proceed any further from that point outside of, "Well, okay, we'll be able to take you to the station, and then you'll probably be able to get a lawyer," or any of those natures. But from that step on, if that's going to be the case, you have the right to remain silent. Do not incriminate yourself. If you think you say anything, as I stated and stating now, when they say anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, they are not joking. Because that conversation that you have with the police officer, no matter how innocent it may seem, how innocuous it may seem, that police officer in his paperwork will write down, "Oh, well, he said this in a joking manner, so maybe he was not being serious. Maybe he was being elusive. He wasn't being truthful. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. Oh, he made a joke about my mother, so maybe he didn't respect me." You'll never know what will happen in that situation. So if a cop, if it proceeds past, you know, "Get out of the car, we need to take you to the station," and the police officer is going to ask you questions, you have the right to remain silent. That's the most important thing afterwards.
Yeah, but like you said, what happens if the officer wants to have a friendly, quote-unquote, conversation with you? "Hey, how was your day today? What's going on? How many kids do you have?" It may sound friendly to you, right?
Yes.
But any information, "Oh, yeah, I dropped my son off to that bastard baby mama drama of mine." That alone, those words, even though it had nothing to do with the case, They will use that like this guy has some type of frustration problem, or he's depressed, or he's stressed out. He's not mentally right, state of mind. You never know what word they could use against you.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay, I will read number three. You have the right to refuse any searches of your person or property without a court order sent warrant. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to use these words to keep yourself safe. When a cop stops you, I don't consent to searches. You don't have no right without any document paper, without probable cause, of course. I mean, if you smell like weed, of course, that's the right for them to search you, but you haven't done nothing wrong. So say those words, and they cannot really, quote-unquote, touch you.
Exactly.
They can't. If they do touch you, once again, we will always refer back to rule number one and number two. We have the right to remain silent and talk to your lawyer. If they
exactly.
touch you, tell your lawyer. They will use that in your defense, because you never know.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, because let's really be honest, there are a lot of people who probably will never have an exchange with a police officer in any meaningful sense. You go through life, everything is good, no issues, you don't drink and drive, you're not speeding, nothing of the sort. So for the most part, there are a lot of people that won't have that, other than when they see a police officer walking across the street and saying, "Hello, officer, how are you doing? Do you want something to eat?" or whatever. Small talk. In this instance, like you just stated, if you are going to get searched, police officer wants to check your pockets, wants to check your jacket, wants to check your hat, your bag, or any of that sort. If you do not have consent, you state those words, "I didn't consent to searches. I do not consent to this search. Refer to my lawyer." You have the right to for any reason, if they're going to search you, they're going to need consent, they're going to need a warrant. And if they don't have any of those two, you just say those words and then say, "I will refer to my lawyer." And then, more importantly, shut the hell up. That's going to be a recurring theme through all of these questions, so keep that in mind, Hot Rod.
True, but, you know, what happened is when you encounter with the police, you will forget a rule or two over here and there. But there's going to be one rule that you need to remember all the time. Shut up.
Yes.
That's it. Don't even say hello. Just do what you're told, and that's it.
Exactly.
So, Sean, in that case, read us number four, please.
Okay, number four. Don't be fooled. The police are allowed to lie to you, make threats that they know to be false, or promise things that they have no intention of delivering. Mind you, if a cop does that or you feel that that's the case, refer to number two, which is the right to remain silent. Police officers are trained when they're looking for information. If they're trying to get you into the station to get information out of you that they feel is favorable in their case, or any other number of reasons, "Oh, I promise you that I'll drive you to pick up your daughter. That's okay. I'll give you $5 to get you back on the bus in case your car gets impounded. But we need you to come to the station." That's what their job is, to convince you to go along with what they're doing so that they can further their own case and get their jobs done. And as I just stated, if you don't realize what's going on, refer to number two, your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, the right to remain silent. Keep that in mind with all of these here. And then shut the hell up.
I think after each rule, we're going to be saying, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. People don't do that, and that's why they get in trouble. Shut your mouth.
Yes. Everybody wants to be a chatty Cathy when it comes to the police because of you're normally going to be probably nervous, and the natural progression, the natural feeling of most people is they're going to have a conversation with anybody that they don't know. "Oh, hello, Mr. Officer. How are you doing? Oh, fine weather we're having today. How are the wife and kids?" The cop doesn't want to hear small talk. He wants to get his job done, get to the station, do his paperwork, and then go home.
Exactly.
Well, if you do open your mouth, this will lead to rule number five. If you do open your mouth, and I like this rule, ask if you are detained or you are free to go. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, ask if you are detained or free to go. The police need probable cause to detain you against your will. Then you shut the hell up.
Exactly. Now you notice. You get the hang of this. Yeah, just shut the hell up after every rule for the moment.
Not for nothing. That's a good one because a lot of people don't know whether. I mean, how would you know unless you've been through this system before and you know the rules. That's actually a really good one.
Yes.
If you know you have nothing to hide, but once again, they cannot go through your car without proper cause, like smoke weed or smoke alcohol, and God knows we have smoke of alcohol all the time, or any real reason, they cannot really touch you. They will try their best to touch you, try their best to get information out of you, but bottom line, shut the hell up.
Exactly.
If you're being detained or free to go, when you say something like that to the officer, it was like, oh my God, this person knows their rights.
Exactly.
So that person has to be careful. You have to fight power with knowledge. People, don't get angry like Anitra always says. Keep your mouth shut, but fight it with power. When you say these simple things, you get less trouble that way, ladies and gentlemen. And that
exactly.
leads to number six. Sean, what's number six?
Number six. Don't do or say anything to help the police find probable cause so that they can detain you. And as I stated before, if that's the case, here refer to your right to keep your mouth shut and, again, your Fifth Amendment right, and stay calm and cool and collected, as we stated in Rule 1, because those two will get you out of a lot of trouble. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that the police, if they have a reason to hold you, let's say there's been a string of robberies around here and there have been robberies in this particular house or there's some sort of description going on and you maybe fit the description. If they don't have a warrant for your arrest or at least to search you or anything of that nature, or they want to hold you for questioning, if they don't have probable cause in the eyes of the law, they cannot hold you. So if that's the case, keep your mouth shut. Do not incriminate yourself by opening your mouth and saying something that can be misconstrued as something different. And then at the same time, when you go in and you, let's say the cops are asking you questions and you refer to those two rules and you say, I have the right to remain silent, I'm going to activate my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, they cannot hold you.
And
then shut the hell up.
Of course, like, okay, have you been drinking? No, I have not been drinking, but Nature B have been drinking. Oh, really?
Exactly.
Like, they're going to take that and twist it around to God knows what. And you know what? I'm going to read rule number seven. It's very simple, but unfortunately, stuff like this does happen. I just want to say, use common sense. But sometimes, common sense is not there, or you just get scared, and you don't know what to do. Number seven is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Don't run. That's it.
Yeah.
<Don't run laughs>
You can't get much more simple than that.
Yeah, no, I never get why people do that. That's common sense.
Yes. You can equate that to as if you see a stray dog. Anybody that's been told when you're young, if you're walking out in the street and you see a stray dog and the dog spots you and you don't see a leash, the worst thing you can do is run away from the dog because the dog will then chase you around. Same thing with the cops. Not to equate the cops as being dogs, but what I'm saying is the reaction is if a cop is looking for information, if he sees you're in a particular area or he needs something going on, and he asks you a question, and you all of a sudden dart off in 80 miles an hour in the opposite direction, oh, the cop has got, I got plenty of probable cause to run and whoop you behind. So let me go chase you and then throw you on the ground and arrest you for resisting arrest or running away from the police. Don't do it. The last thing you want to do is give a police officer any more ammunition against you. So if you see a police officer and they ask you something, don't make yourself look guilty. Do not run. That's going to give them automatic probable cause. And as I stated before, this won't happen if you refer to Rule 1 and 2, i.e. be calm and respectful, polite, and exercise your Fifth Amendment right. That's something that you have to do to keep in mind.
Okay, and I remember Sean Black and I were talking about this Friday about the Don't Run. Remember the case back in South Carolina when I forgot the gentleman's name.
Yes.
The black guy that ran away from the car and got shot in the back
yes.
a couple of times. And I'm like, of course they planted evidence that he had a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the guy was scared. Yes, he did not want to go back to jail because he had search warrants for failed child support. But once again, because he ran, the cop told him to stop running. But of course, he did not hear. He kept running. And what happened? He got shot in the back and cost him his life. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, whether you have a warrant or not or prior arrest, don't run. But once again, like Sean said, when the cops do catch you, they're going to beat your ass down because you made them run with all their equipment around their waist. Maybe, God forbid, they drop their donut down or their coffee to run after you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. You didn't hear that from us.
No, you didn't.
So,
of course not.
Yes, but of course, to be very respectful in that sense, we cannot stress that enough. Never run.
I don't know why you will run in the first place, but that doesn't mean. Sean, what's number eight?
Number eight is probably even much more so of a no-brainer than number seven. That is, never touch a cop, period. And as I stated before, refer to Rule 1 and 2 if you're not sure about that, because if that is the case, number one, stay calm, cool, and collected, and exercise your Fifth Amendment right, then you won't get to that eighth rule. There is no reason, even if you're being polite, or you know how some people have regular familiar mannerisms where they see somebody, hey buddy, how you doing, and tap you on the shoulder, tap you on the back, let me shake your hand without telling the cop, oh yeah, how you doing, and you touch the cop. That is instantaneous for a cop to say, what the hell are you touching me for? And then you're going to get arrested, perhaps. Or you at least bring yourself into a situation that will escalate. If the situation has already gotten to the point where the cop is trying to interview you or trying to get information or talk to you, on top of that, after all of that, the last thing you want to do is touch the cop, especially if it's an incident where it's an elevated amount of aggression between yourself and the cop. Well, I didn't say that. Well, then get out of the car. Okay, and as you can hear the aggression escalate a little bit within the cop's voice or your voice, that's the worst time to have any kind of contact with the police officer, and that's probable cause to put you in cuffs and take you to the station.
Party done.
Yes.
Okay. But what happened if the cop drops something, I bend over to pick it up for him, and I accidentally touch him on the shoulder or whatever, or... God forbid he trip on the floor, so I help him up?
If you drop something in front of a cop, ask for the cop's permission to pick up something. The last thing you want to do is to make some sort of a sudden jerky movement. If you see, let's say the police officer asks you to get out of the car, and there's something that you have maybe in your hand or in your pocket, and you just dropped it by accident. Do I have permission to pick up what I just dropped? I just dropped my pen, or I just dropped my phone, or just dropped... Let the police officer be in control of the situation so that the cop doesn't feel threatened in the entire situation at itself. Ask the cop. If the cop says you can pick it up, go ahead, pick it up. If the cop says leave it be until I'm done, leave it be until you're done. Whatever you dropped is not that important, because the last thing you want to do is, in the process of doing that, bumping the police officer. And then they, what are you trying to say? Guns drawn, handcuffs, to the station, police record. That's the last thing you want to have happen.
Okay. Anita B, anything you want to add on to that?
No, I mean, to me all this is common sense.
I really don't get why people overreact, and I just don't get it.
People overreact because half of them are scared and don't have knowledge, and that's what we're here for, to give them knowledge. If
well,
you know
of course.
What to do, I'm like, yes, I know you're going to say common sense, but not common sense won't work all the time if you don't have knowledge.
Well, you're right. I happen to agree with you.
Yes, and this is one of those times where ignorance cannot be the excuse for any actions that go against any of the rules that we just brought up.
Yes.
You know, I tell people that, you know, if they have a computer, go online. If you don't, go to the library, go to your local precinct, and get your rights. It's on, you know, like, they'll hand it to you.
Exactly.
And just, you know, just educate yourself. And unfortunately,
yes,
a lot of people don't. They'd rather listen to and believe propaganda than actually educate themselves, which is sad.
That's very true.
Exactly.
Okay, wow. I like this type of informative show. We get knowledge out there.
Yes, and this is the reason why we are the absolute truth. We want to make sure that nobody is going to jail for anything stupid.
Exactly. We
you know, now, if you shoot somebody or kill somebody, well, you know, we can't help you with that. But
we want to make sure our listeners are at least, you know,
informed. Yeah. I said you're on your own.
You're on your own if it's all that.
I don't know anything.
Yes.
Okay, rule number 9. Be a good witness. If so, have to make a complaint about police misconduct. You have to get a good recall of what took place. Don't tell the officer. In other words, if there's people that you see, let's say you get stopped at a traffic light or you're being harassed by a cop. If you see someone like Sean Black or Nikki B recording something, don't tell the officer, oh, and I think that's what people are saying over and over. I got you on the phone. I got you on my camera phone. I have you on my camera phone. Most officers don't care now these days about that. But if you see someone recording, talk to that person about it. Trying to make a case. Of course, shut the hell up, as always. After everything is done, talk to that person like Sean Black. If I see you recording on your phone, Sean, what do you got? You saw what Officer Anitra did to me? She harassed me as always because I'm black, because I'm Latino, because I'm fat. You never know. Fill a case against a cop. That's all I have to say.
Exactly. And the one thing, as you just stated, if a police officer even knows what you're doing, then all bets are off in a lot of instances, because even though the cop doesn't have necessarily the right to, as you just stated, to take your personal belongings, something of that nature, when you're just doing a public service and just covering yourself in the situation, you also don't want to broadcast that out to the police officer. So if that is the case, try and have two good eyes trained on the situation. Be very observant. If you can, take mental notes when the situation is over. Maybe write something down. If you're recording it, make sure you recorded it and have good angles and good memory as to what's going on. Because there are, as we are seeing, an increasing number of people having their cell phones out. We're in the world of WorldStar. And in the world of YouTube and everybody putting on Daily Motion and up on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, if there's something that goes on and somebody has footage of it, everybody has trying to become amateur newscaster that's going to put it online. So if you're going to do that, to cover yourself, if you're recording something, and make sure that you don't tell the officer, because that gives that officer just cause thinking you're something you're covering up.
Okay. And last but not least, Sean, can you read us number 10, please? I like this rule a lot.
Yes. Number 10, don't let anybody from the government inside your house without a court-ordered signed search warrant. This goes part and parcel with the other rule that we stated up here about being illegally searched. They need probable cause, or they're going to need that signed warrant to be able to do that. Same here. If a government agent's deciding, oh, I'm going to conduct a raid and go into your house and look for drugs or all of that other stuff, you got a bench warrant, you got a warrant to come in here. If you don't, You are conducting an illegal search, and that is definitely against the law. We had a law, I remember it a few years ago, and I believe it's either in the Bronx or it was in Queens. There was an elderly lady who was living in her apartment building, and the cops, I believe, busted in front, her front door trying to do an illegal search. One, they had the wrong address. But second of all, I don't believe they had the correct warrant to do what they were doing, and the lady ended up having a heart attack. So these are the kinds of things that are here to prevent something like this from happening. If you're going to be subjected to some sort of search, the first thing you say before anybody gets into your house, on your property, apartment, whatever, do you have a warrant to come in here? I'm not letting you in unless there's a warrant. And if the police officer or anyone said, well, I'm going to arrest you, you do that. I will talk to my lawyer, but you do not have a right to enter my house without a signed warrant, period. End of discussion. It ends right there. If not, then follow your due diligence. But these 10 rules that we've just stated are absolutely, positively brilliant. And it's from the website flexyourrights.com. It's based on a film that was put up online, and we all saw the film and listened to the rules that were brought up. And I'll tell you right now, these 10 rules can save you a lot of headaches, and even more so could probably save your life. As I've said before, the whole premise is to get from point A to point B alive, period.
Okay. So I'm glad you brought that point up, Sean, because I have to play the Milton X role now.
Okay.
I hope Milton X is listening because this is really for him, and I'd like to thank Max also, who also helped us with this topic. That he's the one who gave us this information to do research on.
Yes.
You know, with stop and frisk, these traffic light stops, there's a lot of racial profiling involved with these cases, of course. Let's be honest with ourselves. See, a Latino guy, tilted windows. What's a good car right now, Anitra B? I don't know anything about cars.
You can get a Honda Civic. That's probably the most broken into car in the country. So that's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Okay, tilted windows, dog tilted windows, driving down Church Avenue, minding his own business. Two cops spotted the car. Stopped them. The guy did not do anything. While you have a different car, a Mercedes-Benz, white driver, what nice suit. God knows he's probably a Wall Street crook or maybe a drug dealer himself.
Yeah, white collar crime.
Go figure. He does not get stopped by the cops, but the Latino guy did. These type of situations happen all the time. And that's why the Latinos and minorities and blacks, they get frustrated with getting stopped by a cop at the light. What does the guy say? What did I do, officer? The officer is upset with the guy because he got tilted windows. But once again, the white collar thief got driven away, scot-free as always. Do you think that the neighborhood, the population, the minorities, are they sick and tired of this racial profiling by these cops?
Oh yeah, that's definite. And I think that's the reason why there's so much blowback from the minority neighborhoods, because one, they're always seen as targets for their quota. They're looked at as marks. They're looked at as, I'm in an African American neighborhood, or I'm in, I'll give you an example, Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is the biggest African American community in New York City. And you've got Harlem and a lot of other areas, pockets in the New York City area that are predominantly African-American. But there are other races that live within the area. You have Asian-American, you have West Indian, Haitian, you have a number of races. African-Americans, in a lot of times, and Hot Rod is listening to this, and Anitra's probably heard this also, where somebody was just standing around in the corner just waiting for a friend or waiting to cross the street. A police officer strolls in. Hey, what are you doing on the corner, buddy? You might want to get away from that corner. Now, The obvious answer to that, if a police officer is saying that as well, okay, no problem, I'm just, you know, minding my business, whatever. The majority of the reactions that I have seen, why are you hassling me, officer? I am not doing anything, officer. What you talking about, officer? That's when it starts to escalate. And you get that frustration on a regular basis. That's where you get the confrontation with the cops, the attitude with the cops, the cop getting out of the car and getting into the person's face. And then it escalates, and then something bad usually happens. These are the kinds of things that we have to actually address so that it doesn't escalate in these neighborhoods. And as you just stated before, white-collar crime, the guy in the nice dress suit, slick back hair maybe, wearing glasses, talking on his cell phone while he's in the car. None of those things tend to get him pulled over. But you'll hear in a lot of the African-American communities or in the Hispanic community, why is the cop hassling me? Why is the cop hassling this person? And that's the part. That's part of the problem.
All right, so Sean Black, we just mentioned the 10 rules, and I need to be the 10 rules. Yes, I have to admit, these are very good rules, but I really want to pull this up because, as I said earlier, the minorities get hassled a lot. So let's say I'm a black man being harassed by the cops. I go by these rules, and I'm still dead. What is the point of these rules? Like, why are the cops harassing us in the first place?
Yeah. Well, the one thing is, eventually, if you're going to be confronted by a cop, or something like this happens, chances are that cop already had it in his heart to mess around and look for some sort of quota or whatever the case. As an African-American or as any minority that is living in this United States, especially in the New York City area or in Florida or Texas or any other places where these kinds of things happen, one thing you have to always do to minimize the chance. We're not going to say everything we've said is 100% foolproof, but to minimize the situation, to minimize any kind of problems happening in the future, those rules are a guideline to make sure that you don't end up dead. We're not singing songs at your funeral with flowers at your grave prematurely.
Yeah, like in the case of Samuel DeBuzz, he was following the police orders, and he still got killed. So how can we – what we're doing right now sounds like a double standard, but at the same time, it's not 100% guaranteed. Are you happy with that answer, Milton X? Milton X just posted a question to me on my website.
There's no such thing as a guarantee. It doesn't exist. We're not there. We're not in those person's head. We don't know what's – like, there's no guarantee, but following the law, knowing your rights, will at least hopefully bring down the numbers.
All right. So here's another devil's advocate question. We're telling people to remain calm and shut the hell up. As we watch shows of cops back then and other police shows, Sean Black and I talk about, there have been times on TV we see white people yelling and cursing at the cops, nothing happens to them. Maybe they get a ticket, they might get arrested, but if the black person did the same thing, there's a 95% chance they would be arrested or killed, even.
Well, this is why you follow, you know your rights, you know the law. So this way, if you yourself get stopped, Hot Rod, you yourself get stopped, right? You feel the cop is vile, is not being right with you in any form or fashion. But if you do what you are supposed to do and you get out of that, get his badge number, you're looking at it, get his name, go to the police and report him.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know what? Okay, you and I both got stopped at two different situations. You're the one cursing at the cop. Me, I'm trying to behave because I'm scared to my life following orders. Well, most likely, even though you curse out the cop out, you get away, while me, I still probably go to jail for God knows whatever.
Yeah, but
no,
that's
reason.
Not 100% fact, because there's plenty of white people who curse out the cops, and oh my God, guess what? They get arrested too. So you can't even make that broad statement because it's not 100% true.
But systematically, it is much higher that
higher,
a minority
yeah.
is going to not have the same results.
No, of course.
And I think
just...
that at least giving the rules there is some kind of a buffer so that
exactly.
it will help minimize the situation from getting any worse than it already is.
Exactly. There are other ways to go at it than getting mad. Yes, it's not right. You know, it's not right what happened. It's not 100%. But there are other ways than screaming and yelling like a lunatic.
Yes. And one of them is to go to a congressman, go to an alderman,
exactly.
go to anybody within your city that represents you, your constituents, and anything
yeah,
else of that nature, and talk, organize, you know, block associations, those kinds of things, and talk. Get those
yep.
things going, and to make sure that the police officers, hopefully the training that they're doing, and I'm not going to put a blanket statement and say all cops are terrible and they're all out to kill you. That is not the case. I say 95 to 96% of the police officers are great human beings. They do their jobs well. They are well-trained. They know what they're doing. But that you have to worry about though that small percent that is going to be gung-ho Rambo, like the kid, the police officer at the pool party that pulled out a gun on the 13-year-old and threw her to the ground. You're going to always have one of those yahoos out there that's going to go crazy and think he's in the Dukes of Hazzard. That isn't the case all the time.
Understood. I'm just saying both sides of the story, because once again, people, knowledge is power.
Exactly.
It does not guarantee that you won't get a bullet through your head, but there's a better chance that, you know, you will get home alive. And that's what this show is about. And we have a new caller already. I don't know who this is. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's me, Professor K-Dog.
Hey, K-Dog, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Anitra B? What's going on, Sean Black? And what's going on, Hot Rod?
Woo!
Glad to see you guys back.
Thank you.
I was listening to the show, and I'm glad that you guys are pointing out a lot of statements. And I'm sure you've heard me say this before, like many a times. This is the thing. When it comes to dealing with the police, you know, it's just dealing with morals, you know. People have to know how to follow the rules, number one. That's, you know, following the rules, I mean, listen, if you know that you're not guilty of anything, once you are stopped by the police officer, the thing is you have to remain calm because, listen, first let me start by saying this. The rules of the police is to protect and serve. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, the moral of the story is, and Hot Rod, just to answer what you had to say, is that the moral of the story is that minorities have to know how to follow the rules better than the non-minority, period. Now, this is the thing. If you are stopped by the police officer, just calm down. If you know you're not guilty of anything, just play a cool head. There is no need to get upset. There's no need to start cursing at the police officer. There's no need to raise hell, because you know what? When you do that, you're asking for trouble, because the police will have every right to call for backup, and we've seen this happen many times. They'll call for backup, and next thing you know, you're in a situation that you don't want to be in when it comes to dealing with the police.
So, K-Dog, let's go back to Sandra Bland. That she had
right.
on a video, on a dash cam video, she seemed like she had a bad day or a nasty accident towards the cops. If she had cooperated,
right.
would she still be alive today, do you think?
I believe
so. Think
because
would be handled differently?
Well, things would have been handled differently, because you know what it is? When you're dealing with, you know, especially hostile cops, the best thing to do is just to remain calm, because I understand the situation is tense. And what happened to Sandra Bland was very tragic. It was very tragic. Something that could have been avoided. And Anitra B., you know, you'll agree with me when I say this, is that everything has to play. You have to keep a cool head no matter what, no matter how tense the situation is, because I can understand that she probably was frustrated that she was stopped by the police. You know, and that right there, I mean, with the way that the situation took place, when the police, which I felt that the police should have never opened her door, period. But Maybe if there was no argument, who knows, things could have been different. That we don't know.
Do you think that cigarettes that time could have been used as a weapon?
Remember
she was smoking inside the car and the officer told
her? Yeah, I remember she was smoking in the car.
Do you think she
could
have used that cigarette as a weapon?
Well, I don't really think so that she would have, because that couldn't have been done if she wanted to use the cigarette. She wouldn't use the cigarette as a weapon because I'm sure she was trying to avoid a situation. That's a good question. That I really can't answer.
Well, I'm saying this because as an officer, I see, you know, I'm telling you to calm down and everything, but I see you smoking a cigarette. I'm telling you to put a cigarette away because I'm afraid that cigarette could be used as a weapon for my life. I'm defending myself. You know,
I don't know you.
You know, that cigarette could be trying to burn my hand. You probably could push the door open, knock me to the ground, and keep on running. I don't know.
That is a good question because as a police officer, you could be alert. You could be alert, saying, "What does this person have that this person's getting so agitated?" You know, and that usually happens. And I'm not saying that I'm siding with either or. I'm just saying that that situation could have ended differently had things escalated differently. Had things not escalated to the point where people get angry or go ahead and be and use all type of hostilities.
Yeah, what I think it is that every police officer is trained for almost every eventuality that can come across.
Exactly.
You don't know exactly what the cop, what the person in the car is doing, what they may have, and it's a cigarette. Do I think that she would have used it as a deterrent of some sort? Probably could have.
No,
you pissed me off. I can burn your wrist, or I could try it. But
to think of it
being used as a weapon, like I'm going to pull this cigarette out and I'm going to jam it in your eye, and then I'm going to take it out and jam it in the other eye and make sure you're blind, and then I'm going to do the two-step on your corpse or whatever. That's preposterous. But at the same time, the cop has to go in and protect him or herself to make sure that nothing escalates past a certain point.
Exactly what I was saying before about police protect and serve. But however, you know, who knows, the situation could have ended differently had there not been so much verbal exchanges between the cop and between her and the police officer. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's not like I'm, you know, taking sides or anything. I'm speaking neutral. I'm speaking as a liberal. Because this is the thing. We've seen this situation time and time again.
Yes.
When you are shot by the police officer, the best thing to do is just to say, you know, you could say, "Oh, excuse me, officer, is there a problem?" There's no need to be, "Oh, why are you stopping me for? Or what's up with that? Oh, you stopping me because I'm black." None of that needs to happen.
Kato, you hit the point right there. Most people, because then lack of knowledge, "You stop me because I'm black," start the frustration right away. So that's when the racial profile begins. And, you know,
you
maybe
know,
sometimes
like
that's not the case.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know what it is? And Hot Rod, pardon me for interrupting, but one of the things that happen is this, is when you are stopped by, if you use those kind of things, that's lighting a fuse right there. That's lighting a fuse to the police officer to call for backup. And that's where the trouble escalates.
And usually when a police officer calls for backup, it's mostly to protect themselves as well.
Exactly.
They don't know exactly what that person that they're calling it in is going to do. So
it does happen.
Yeah. Don't get it to that point.
Yeah. Well, so Sean Black, do us a favor and read us the 10 rules one more time before we head on to our next segment.
Yes, I shall. And for those that don't know, we'll make these available afterwards so you can know where to get the rules. But rule number one, always remain calm, collected, and respectful. A police encounter is the worst time to place or vent your frustration with the police. Number two, you have the right to remain silent, so exercise it. Make sure that you're not talking, and that's the smartest way to exercise your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Number three, you have the right to refuse any searches of your person or property without a court-ordered search warrant. That's what you have to make sure you say. I don't consent to this search. And then you keep your mouth quiet. Number four, don't be fooled. The police are allowed to lie to you, make threats that they know to be false, or promise things that they have no intention of delivering. Number five, ask if you're going to be detained or are you going to be free to go. The police need probable cause to detain you against your will. Number six, do not say or see anything to help the police find probable cause so that they can detain you. Number seven, do not run. This automatically gives the police probable cause to take you down and arrest you. Number eight, never trust a cop. That's a no-brainer in and of itself. Number nine, be a good witness so that if you have to make a complaint about police misconduct, you will always have a good recall of what took place. But obviously, don't tell the officer. That would be really stupid. And last but not least, number 10, don't let anybody from the government inside your house without a court-ordered signed search warrant. These rules are kind of like a guideline to help keep you protected and make sure that you know what your rights are. And hopefully people will be able to keep those in mind the next time something happens.
I'm having number 11.
And what would number 11 be, Anitra?
Shut the hell up.
Yeah. That, you know what that should be? 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. It should be shut the hell up at the end of every rule. But all 10 of those rules are pertinent and important, and hopefully we'll be able to keep you safe in case you encounter a police officer. At least you'll have a heads up of what the heck to do.
Well, with our luck, when people get stopped by the cops, well, the absolute truth told us to shut the hell up, so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to shut the hell up. Gee, thanks.
That would be great. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yes. Just out these guys. Go ahead. They're the ones that said to do it.
Yep.
On to our next topic, about pizza up in New York City. Sean Black, very upset about a pizza story, which I have no problem with. I love watermelons on my pizza.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I've done the whole fruit thing on the pizza. It's good.
Oh, yes, until you hear about what happened with this particular story. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, Hot Rod, should we go in on this?
Go ahead. We got a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep.
There is I wouldn't say a prominent pizza place, but it's a pizza place in Manhattan. And this is the name of the pizza place. I want to hope I get the name of it correct. It's called Pizza de Certe. And they serve pizza by Certe. It's on 56th in Lexington in Manhattan.
Spell the last word.
C-E-R-T-E with a accent mark over the E. So pizza by Certe.
Okay.
Yes. Now, what happened is, and this is something that has drawn a lot of outrage, and I'll explain to you why. They are known for making eclectic type pizzas that they sell inside the place. Well, this past week, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, they came up with a brand new pizza idea, and it is called Pick a Nicka. PICANIKA. Do you want to know what the ingredients of said pizza is?
Oh, God, I'm afraid to ask.
The ingredients in this pizza: southern fried chicken chunks, sea salted watermelon, sunflower seed crust with arugula, goat cheese, blue cheese, and ricotta cheese.
Wow.
Now.
So, Sean Black, what's the problem?
Well, for those that aren't that informed about African-American stereotypes and racial issues, there has always been a stigma that African-Americans have an affinity for fried chicken, watermelon, sunflower seeds, etc. All of said ingredients were put in this pizza and was given the name that I just said, Pick a Nicka.
But it sounds really good.
I guess if you you like roughage because of all of the sunflower seeds in and everything, but that would not be a problem if it was not marketed the way it was. And the issue happened when this pizza was put on their website and through their Facebook page. They were excoriated by people that saw how racist, blatantly racist this was. And they were getting negative stats of people coming in and leaving comments and were absolutely ridiculous in their reaction. This is called their pizza of the month. And they had it on display, put it on their website.
I don't see how this is racist.
It's
you don't
food,
think so?
Exactly. Yeah, it's food.
I'm like, it's food.
You know what it is? I'll tell you why. If you hear the name Pick a Nicka,
wow,
and if you say it enough times, you cannot look someone straight in the face, especially someone who is African-American or of any minority that knows the history behind this, and bring out a pizza with those ingredients, knowing the history behind it, and have a straight face, and go out and say that there's nothing racist about this, you got an issue. And here is where the issue lies. In the apology afterwards, in the Facebook post the day after they got ramrodded online on their Facebook page. And I'm going to read you their response. Quote, this was done Saturday. To the people of New York City and to those who were offended by the sign, and specifically and especially to the black community, we are gravely, deeply, truly sorry. When we named the pizza Pick a Nicka, we disrespected an entire community, perpetuated a hurtful ideology, and brought embarrassment to ourselves. In a time and climate when words carry so much change, we choose beyond poorly and cannot erase or ignore the damaging effects that it has caused. It's tough to think that we did something so hurtful. We made a shameful mistake. Once again, we are sorry. We were fortunate enough to have individuals call the store and educate us to true harmful effects of our words. We now have a better understanding of the disappointment, frustration, anger, and outrage felt. We know that we've lost some of you, and we can't take it back, but we stand by our philosophy. If you are not satisfied, we will make it right. That is basically from Facebook page the day after they got basically outed on the local news in the New York area and on Facebook and online.
Okay. Wow. So pick a Nicka.
Yes.
I'm trying to say it the proper way.
It is.
There's no way that anyone can justify and say that this is some innocent thing.
You don't know that.
You weren't there. I mean, there's a lot of stupid people out there. You know this.
But you want to know something?
You know that there's a lot of ignorant, retarded people out there.
Definitely, there are a lot of ignorant people. The problem is they're running a business in a city that is very, very diverse. And you cannot run a food business and not know before you make something like this. Try looking up what it – and there's no way that somebody can come up and tell me that the name – and the correlation between the name and the food items that they put in there don't have some kind of correlation. If that's the case, I got a bridge in Cuba to sell you.
There's a lot of stupid people. I mean, I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong, you know, and they should have known better. But there's a lot of stupid people out there who just don't think. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how big the business is. That's all irrelevant. You know this.
Exactly.
So there is that possibility that this was just a really stupid, asinine mistake.
And, wow. I'm going on the record. Mark this down, everybody. I agree with somebody that's on the line right now. I can't say the name.
Okay.
Because I don't see this as a racist thing.
Okay.
I don't see it as a stupid. I'm like, yes, number one, Sean Black doesn't eat chicken, and I don't eat watermelon, so that stereotype that black people love watermelon and chicken is out the window.
Exactly.
It is.
So, honestly, they just put some stuff together. They just come up with a stupid name. Maybe it was a joke. Maybe there was some good meaning behind it. But for me to say it was a racist moment, I don't think so.
Anitra, I agree with you 100%. You got to think before you pick something, because you know what? You have to be very careful in the world of business not to offend people. That's the thing. You don't
I will guarantee
anybody.
You, if Pizza Hut came up with something like this, or if Domino's came up with something like this, I will almost guarantee you, one, people would be fired, and two, people would probably end up being sued.
Yes, that's nationwide. This is just a local store.
True. Something special, you know.
And the only reason why we knew about it, because once again, social media, if we didn't have internet, no one would talk about it. It would have been on the show, no one would have cared. But because since we keep talking about racism every week in this country, that's why Nika is very popular right now. Hey, stop this. I'm sorry, my son is messing up my paperwork. So you know what?
Maybe he wants to be part of the show.
Yeah.
Yes. Next week, I will go to that store and buy a slice for all of us to eat and try it out.
Well, let us know how it tastes.
Yes, please, let us know. Now, to be fair to the business, they did change the name, and they call it Picnic Pizza now. They've changed it. And the explanation that the owner gave is that his father is Italian, and he says picnic by saying picnicca because he's of old-school Italian. That's the explanation that he gives.
Oh, so they did a play on the way his father speaks.
Yeah.
I honestly think they probably just weren't thinking straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either
that or they want the publicity.
Well, they got it because we're talking about it right now. So.
But that's what I'm saying, because there's no such thing. Like they say, there is no such thing as bad publicity. Because even if people are pissed off, they're going to be curious enough to go there, spend their money, and be like, let's see.
Just like with Hot Rod. Hot Rod, you have to let me know what this pizza tastes like. If you're really going to go there and try it, let everybody know when we do our show again.
Because all I got to say is like this. You know, for the simple fact that they link some of those ingredients with the name, you know exactly what the meaning. But, however, this is the whole thing. Like you said, it could have been an honest mistake, but Hot Rod has just got one thing to say.
Yeah.
Let me know how that pizza tastes.
No, I will go to the store and say the phone name. Can I pick a N-word and see how they go in response to that?
Oh, my Lord.
But like I said,
I will have that on my camera phone and see if they're going to send me that slice or not. Oh, yes, we do have a picket N-word for you. Here you go with extra chicken on it and watermelon. Have a nice day, sir.
Exactly. And that's my whole point. If anybody goes out there and they look at the ingredient, that's one thing if they were to say, okay, we're making a very different, eclectic type of pizza that we would like to try on the world, and we'll just call it something different. Even if they initially called it picnic pizza, probably wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
the ingredients itself and the pronunciation of the word that was used makes it just a little bit suspect. I'm not saying that's 100% going to be the case, but if that was not their intention, they sure got a firestorm right up now.
Well, let me just say this, you know, for the simple fact that they link those ingredients with the same means,
exactly.
They knew exactly the meaning.
They knew, and that's what I'm saying. There is no way you can have a business run in the New York City area, knowing the minorities and the people involved in the city, and then come up with a delicacy and name it that with those said ingredients and not expect to have some kind of uproar. That just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe that was the point.
Well, if that's the case, then they did their job.
There's a lot of sensitive people out there. You know, like we just said, me and Rod did not see anything wrong. Like, it's obviously stupid, but I didn't take that as being racist, neither did he. Mm. But there are people out there who would and make an uproar and make a huge deal out of it.
Especially older people, maybe in their 50s, in their 60s, that know a lot more about a lot of the racist trappings that have happened in the past with stereotypes and everything, that they would definitely probably feel that they would lean more toward it being racist than just being a stupid mistake.
Yep, and then people are going to be like, cool, where is this place? Let's go check it out. And then they're going to spend their money there, and then these people are going to get exactly what they want in the beginning.
More money. Making millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Okay. On to the main event topic.
Yes.
Talk about money.
Mm.
No.
Talk about millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
You know what? I like to say love is blind sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm too busy laughing, but this is a funny story to me. In North Carolina, Marie Holmes, she's a mother of four children who have beaten the odds of millions of people and won the Powerball worth $188 million. After taxes, she took the lump sum and took home $88 million. So what's the problem? She spent the money, well, $9 million of that money, bailing out her heroin boyfriend twice. First time was $3 million, the second time was $6 million. Okay, guys, let the judging and the criticizing begin. Anitri, how do you feel about bailing out your boyfriend, or in your case, boyfriend, of millions of dollars and millions of dollars, knowing that
that would never happen. I don't date convicts. That would never happen. And then there's my saying, you are a grown man. You put yourself there, get yourself out.
But
wow.
This is your opinion. This is your fiance we're talking about.
That would not be my fiance. No, I don't think I'm like.
Yeah. Let me give a little bit of the background to this, because this reads like something out of a Mad Magazine episode.
Yeah, but doesn't she have, like, kids with the dude and, like,
exactly.
Family
this
together
is, this
and
woman,
all this crap?
This North Carolina woman has four children. One of them has cerebral palsy, a special needs child.
Whoa.
Has been with this particular male who goes by the name of Lamar Hot Sauce McDaw. I kid you
not.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's his nickname.
Lamar, wait a minute.
Lamar,
his name is Lamar
I'm
going to
get me some hot sauce.
Oh, my goodness, man.
And
that's
great. Yes.
Are
now, this
serious?
Is a guy who has, as you just stated, Hot Rod, has been in jail more than once. I believe he's been arrested, what was it, 15 times in total?
Wow.
But two times that we know of while they've been dating, and it's because of, let me try to get this correct, trafficking heroin, possession with intent to manufacture, and selling and delivering heroin. Now, this is back in November where he was originally arrested. Now, he had a previous arrest before that. Now, during his first arrest, during this time, Marie Holmes, who was the fiance, had won the Powerball. So, okay, I won all of this money. And the first thing that she initially stated when she won this money was, quote, it's all for my children. It's all for them, is her quote. All the struggle I ever went through, it's all for them. Money doesn't change it, but money's going to help me. And she said she wanted to give some of the winnings to her local church and donated to the cerebral palsy organizations in the North Carolina area, which are good things. You figure she's got her priorities straight. She's got money to be able to take care of her children. She'll be able to do things that she wasn't able to do earlier in life because she had been through a lot in earlier times. Until you deal with Mr. Hot Sauce. Mr. Hot Sauce has been in and out of jail so many times. And yet she continues to stay with this guy, to bail him out the first time. That was $3 million. The second time was an extra $6
million. Oh, my goodness.
Now, here's the craziest part. Hot Rod, you're going to laugh at this because, remember, we read her her response on Facebook when we were talking about doing the show. And I could not stop laughing after I read this. This is her Facebook page after the criticism of her bailing out her druggy fiance. This is her exact words. I'm going to read it the way she typed it up. What y'all need to be worried about is y'all money and not how I spend mine. This is benefiting y'all how? And no, he's no drug dealer or user. But who are y'all to judge anybody? I will definitely pray for y'all because it's much need. They talked about Jesus, so I'm not surprised y'all are talking about me, but be blessed, though, end quote. That's
okay,
quote.
She definitely has, She doesn't have to finish school, that's for sure.
Yes.
Y'all.
Y'all and all that.
That's her quote that she put on to defend herself.
Wow.
Okay, let's all be honest. We don't know this Monica Holm person or Hot Sauce person. Let's be honest about
that. I'm going to laugh every time I hear that name.
What kind of a name is Hot
Sauce? Oh, brother, sounds like some sort of... It sounds like something on Martin Lawrence show or something. It's got
hot
sauce
in the corner. Sounds like something that... Got some hot sauce? Come on, let me have some hot sauce.
You know what? Apparently, she loved this guy. And you
obviously.
Know what? Like I said, love could be blind. And ladies and gentlemen, we all have done something stupid once in our lifetime for love. Trust me, I do it every time. But besides that, now let's be honest, guys. We all done something stupid, like I said. So her burning out her fiance, was it something stupid? She has the money. She has $88 million. Why not?
Well, this is the thing when it comes to that, and I have a huge problem with that because this is the thing. The fact that this guy's been in jail, and I'm not judging anybody, the fact that he's been locked up more than, like, how many times? You said 15 times. 15 times. Listen, you're a grown man. You are a grown man. You know what it is that you're doing. And mind you, she should have much more sense than that. Because, listen, if this individual is continuously getting himself into trouble, he's a grown man. He should need to bail himself out by staying out of trouble. And by you giving your money, now this money's not going to come back to you now. It's not going to come back to you. $9 million? That's a lot of money. Take that money and invest it for your children instead of bailing him out of jail. I mean, it's not like he's going to, you know why he's going to stay in trouble? Because you know why? You're going to keep bailing him out. He's going to use this as a weapon against you. I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, you understand what I'm saying. It makes no sense. This whole thing makes no sense. It's just senseless to me. I'm shaking my head to the whole thing. Use it to invest in your children's future.
True. I agree with you, Kato. It made no sense because we don't understand the situation. Maybe this Monica, what's her name again? Monica Holmes?
Yes.
Maybe she loved Hot Sauce penis so much that, you know, she got to bail that guy out. Maybe the sex love is good. We don't know. We don't know the situation.
But the whole thing makes no sense. And you know what? By her attitude, I could tell that she doesn't understand the value of what she did, the era of that way, because really, I mean, he's a grown man. This is a grown man we're talking about. We're not talking about a little kid that did something stupid. No, because when you're grown, you know what you're doing. I mean, you've been in jail like 15 times. I mean, come on now. And he's going to continue to do that because she's going to continue to bail him out.
Yeah, but guys, at the end of the day, like she said, it's really nobody's business.
No, it's true. Nobody's
and you're right.
It is what it is. We're not there. We don't live with them. We don't know them.
Yeah.
So we can't even, honestly, we can't even comment on why she did what she did.
Yeah.
Right.
No. And Anitra, I'll play devil's advocate on this one also. This is something that I've noticed is a conversation amongst other African Americans when it comes to big windfalls of money. The one thing that I will always hear is when anybody in the African American community wins a huge amount of money. Let's say in this instance is $188 million. Somebody wins Powerball $300 million or whatever is the case. And there's always in the African American community that pull of, well, she won all this money. Why doesn't she give some of that money back to the community? Or why doesn't she do this? Or why doesn't she do that? And in all reality, that's her money. If she wants to do whatever, if she wants to buy gold-plated dildos and hang them around her house for the rest of her life, if that's what she chooses to do, that's her right. And you can always have that argument that a lot of people look at that as like, well, how self-righteous of you to tell me what to do with my money and my life. Hot Rod, you're correct on that, is that we don't know her at all. We don't know the lifestyle. If that's what she wants to do with her money, so be it.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
Yeah, and mind if I add something else, too? There have been many cases, especially in the community, where people have won the lottery, and yet years later, you hear of them going broke because they did something foolish with the money.
Yes.
You know,
there are TV series about the lottery ruined my life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
The lottery ruined life. There was one guy, I could give you an example, many years ago. He was a bus driver, a city bus driver, who hit the lottery not once, but twice he hit the big time. And now today in 2015, that man is broke completely. Spent it on cars, spent it on expensive houses and all this stuff, and now he's completely broke. That money is gone.
And I'm glad you brought that point up, Kato, because that's what I'm about to say. I think why everybody's outraged by this, because you receive a blessing that we all, let's be honest, most of us have been playing the lottery. And I'm still broke from playing the lottery.
That's the reason why the lotto jackpot keeps growing.
You know, and you know, here you are, you receive the blessing. Yes, you have the right to spend the money any way you want. But at the same time, let's be real, you have to be responsible how you spend your money.
Yes.
You want to spend your money, you want to spend your money on your boyfriend, okay, but in the end, is that boyfriend will do the same thing for you? I doubt that, but once again, I don't know. That's what people keep criticizing for, is, you know, you hear the stories all the time, you know, they get all this money. You ask yourself, how in the world can you blew away $300 million? Apparently, people just do that.
Exactly. And we've heard not nightmare stories about people that have had money, that have, you know, coked it up in one weekend, or put it in the money into a bad investment, and then they went broke, they're in jail. These kinds of things happen, and the responsibility has to then fall on the people that get the money. Because let's really be honest, people in minority regions or African American, Hispanic, Asian American, any of those number of people that have never had money before in general,
they get the money.
Don't know the responsibility of what to do with it when they have it.
Well,
they haven't had it before in any great deal.
They lose their minds because, listen, when you win that kind of money, you don't know what to do, especially if you've never had it before. You're going to wild out. You're going to go crazy with that money.
Yeah.
And then later on, you're just going to go broke.
I got to get 35 TVs in every size in my house. One in the bathroom, one on the floor, one in the bathtub, one in the window, one in the ceiling. You know, I mean, you can splurge if you want. It's your money, but you also have to understand at some point the money's going to run out.
Yeah, it's not coming back to you.
Well, like Anisha told me a while back.
Come back to you.
It's not, but like Anisha told me a while back, damn, I give her credit again. God help me.
Well, that's a mic drop right there.
Oh, no, I'm so proud.
You know, what it is, people are not educated. You know, Anisha always told me she know what to do with her money because her mother taught her how to use money.
Exactly.
We use, mostly, especially in the urban community, they get a check for $300. They run and buy a pair of Jordans. Why are you going to use your paycheck that you work hard for a pair of Jordans? But people are not educated how to use the money. For Monica Holmes, she probably think, hey, I got $88 million. I cannot blow away $88 million. So what if I bail out my boyfriend? It's my boyfriend, my money. But in the end, like I said before, when the things will hit the fan, and they will do hit the fan, she will be broke again. So Monica Holmes, she probably think, hey, I got $88 million.
This is the thing. This is the thing that's going on now. When it comes to this kind of situation, time and time again, yes, miseducation about money. And it's happened again and again. And Anitra, Sean, Hot Rod, you'll understand when I say this. When you win that kind of money, it's best to invest it in something good. Try to put it away, especially if you have a family, because some people, when they have that kind of money, they go ahead and buy something that is too much for them. For example, why are you going to go ahead? Okay, let's just say $88 million, right? Are you going to go ahead and buy a mansion, or are you just going to buy a regular house?
Exactly. because you got to pay property tax, you got to pay water bill, you got to pay electricity, you got to furnish the place, you got to have food and electricity and all the other stuff. One of the things that my mother did when I was in college, the first thing that she taught me about was about credit, because I got my first credit card when I was in college. And I think most people that have had credit cards, that's usually when they get their first one, either in after they have their first job or they get to school, because they usually have them camped out on campuses. Go ahead and do that. My mother explained to me interest, APRs, the right rates that you need to have, credit score, all of that stuff. That was explained to me within the first year that I had my first credit card. And people that get credit cards don't realize the importance of having great credit, because you never know at some point what will happen where you will need credit. And the best thing to do is to have enough credit so that you, when you need it, it's there. Those are the kinds of things that aren't taught. So when you have good credit, or in this instance you win a windfall of money, you have to know what to do with it, because you know, based on the behavior of this right now, if she loses all this money, I will almost guarantee you that Hot Sauce will sprinkle his sauce on the next person that has a sandwich.
Oh yes, he will. And this is the thing. You have to have self control, and you have to think like, wow, you know, I have all this money. You know what? Like for me, I'm just happy that I come from a family that taught me what to do with the money to make sure that it doesn't run out. Because some people I know, I've heard stories. Not correct me. I heard some people, when they win the lottery, they end up quitting their jobs. They just go crazy with their money. I mean, they splurge.
Yes.
And they splurge as if they, you know, number one, you're not Jay-Z, you're not Diddy, you're not Donald Trump. Excuse the phrase. You're not any of these people, because you know what? The money they spent, it comes right back to them, because
exactly.
They invest their money. You who never invested your money, you go ahead and spend it. Once that money's gone, it is gone. It's never coming back.
You take the money that you get, you put it in the bank, and you live off the dividend checks. Whereas the dividend checks is the interest accrued and the money that you put in the bank. You spend that money, and then the money that you won doesn't get touched. Meanwhile, it's in the bank accruing more interest. That's how you do it.
Not everybody thinks that way.
And that's the problem.
Not everybody thinks that way. Not everybody's going to think about that.
No, Marco Holmes, what you need to do is first find me on Facebook. I will propose to her so she will marry me. So I will take care of her and her four kids. I'd be happy to do so. I don't need any money.
And Hot Rod, let's really be honest. What's Hot Sauce compared to the Hot Rod?
Oh, boy.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
I'm drug free. I don't go to jail. And I bet you I could cook better than him.
Hot Sauce. Oh, my goodness.
I'd be happy to marry you if you take me away. And my son, too. But
Anitra, I created a monster.
Oh, my goodness. A monster. A monster has arrived.
Okay.
You know what?
All I know is it's not difficult. Unfortunately, when it comes to people getting, you know, coming into a large sum of money, they would rather just be like, oh, I know what to do, instead of actually, you can go into a bank and talk to a financial advisor.
Exactly.
Every single bank has one.
Yes, indeed.
And they will help you. It is not that difficult.
And they have an incentive to help you, because they're getting paid from the interest of the money you're investing into the bank, so they can invest that money into the bank. That's how they keep in business.
Unfortunately, people don't understand. People don't know this, and they would rather go nuts and buy this or buy that. It's like when I was growing up, my mama always told me, just because you have $5 in your pocket doesn't mean you got to spend it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hold on to that.
Like my mother always said, like this: hold on to whatever you have. Hold on to it. Do not spend it foolishly.
Don't spend something foolishly. That's a given. Nobody's perfect.
Right. Nobody's perfect. And you know what? I agree 100%. But at the same time, be responsible with your money.
Oh, of course.
Would...
Yeah. But you know what? You have to live your life to a certain degree also. I think that's what it is.
Yep.
You only got one life to live, so you go out and enjoy. Like, for example, I go to the bars and enjoy myself some juices with some other things as well at the bar. But not like I drink all the time, but hey, I use my money for that. But that's my business. But at the same time, being responsible. Even though I go to the bars and spend, I don't overspend. I'll go to the happy hour, I'll go within my means, and after that, I'll go freeload off of somebody else at their house or drink their beers.
I understand.
Yeah.
As I've stated before, there is a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Rich,
yes.
You can get in one shot and blow it in one shot. Wealth, you can't outgrow wealth. Wealth is great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. Wealth is the Rockefellers. Wealth is the Maras. That's what wealth is. Rich is Rich is Justin Bieber.
That's
all
it.
Right.
Rich is Chris Brown, all right?
Talk about Rich. I have to wrap things up soon. I'd like to go to our segment that we have not done in a while called You Cannot Make This Stuff Up. Boom,
okay.
Boom, boom. Yes. Back in Austin, Georgia, paramedics and the police were called to this guy named Jones Etcher, mobile home, on a Tuesday night after a frantic call from his mother saying that her son has sawed off his penis with an electric carving knife. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy had cut off his penis. Why?
Wow.
Because he was struggling with masturbation. He would masturbate a lot, almost 12 times a day, and in his religion, masturbation is sinful. So to relieve himself for the Lord and from his sinful way, he could not stop touching himself, so he decided to cut himself. Wow. Why in the world?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Why, man? That's painful, man. Oh, man.
I can't even follow that up with a witty comment. That's just no.
Yeah, I there's nothing.
No, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's just, man, you're gonna do what to stop masturbating? Okay. So you're gambling. You stop gambling. You stop playing dice. So okay, whatever.
You cut off your hand. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, everybody has their own religious belief. I'm not knocking down anybody's religion. Masturbation is a nice pleasure moment. You know, I can occur. if you need to pleasure yourself 10 to 12 times a day, you need to seek help, professional help. I'm just saying. But that's for a sex addict. But to go to the extreme, to take an electric knife and cut it, that is beyond insane. So,
that is crazy.
Yeah.
I know. I threw a lot of people off with this story because it threw me off too.
It'll throw a lot of people off, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know the other story that I told you about earlier in the week, which is just as crazy. My what the F story is a Florida man. This happened like earlier in the month. But this fool, Florida man, was arrested. He was suspected of stealing a Mercedes-Benz, was arrested in Florida, got seated in the back seat of the car. While he was getting driven to the police station, he decided to gnaw off his own fingerprints, thinking that he wouldn't be able to be identified if he had no fingerprints. So he decided to sit
goodness.
In the back of the car and chew off his fingertips.
After he was arrested.
His name is
That's
Kenzo
right.
Roberts. He's 20 years old. He was arrested after the deputies for the Lee County Sheriff's Office spotted a 2015 Mercedes that had been reported stolen. So they quickly discovered that he was using a fake ID, carrying a concealed firearm, 3 fraudulent credit cards. So he was arrested, put in the back seat of the patrol car, and he's on surveillance video because now, remember, cop cars actually have cameras in them as well. he decided to chew off his fingertips thinking he was going
yeah,
to
they caught it on. I saw it on video. I saw that video. That was the craziest thing ever, man.
What an idiot. Talk about,
Al?
You talk about
stupid,
WTF.
Yes.
Al?
So, wow. Yeah, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we gave you a lot of knowledge and stories today, indeed. What
yes,
can I say? Okay, Kato, final thoughts. We'll have to wrap this show up. Sorry, guys.
Okay, final thought. Well, when it comes to the police, just, you know, use courtesy and calm. And as for that lottery winner, all I got to say is this. For all the people who win lottery, control your money. Don't let the money control you. And as for the what the F situation, those are the craziest things that I've ever heard. Law enough. I mean, cut your hand off. I mean, if you got a problem with playing dice, but come on,
yeah.
man.
All right. I mean, to be. All right, Kato, thank you.
Thanks,
hey, you're welcome, guys.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, to be. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, just, especially with our first segment, just I really hope people would just start educating themselves on what their rights are. And I really think that that would, you know, not get rid of what's going on, but it would start to at least eliminate.
Okay. Very, very, you're very proactive today. You really must be sober. But other than that.
I'll try.
Yeah, see, she tried.
She said
well,
she's trying.
Watch, 10 minutes later, meet me at the bar. But other than that, Sean Black, any final thoughts?
Yes. My final thoughts encapsulate everything that we've talked about, in that common sense should override the commonly dense, period.
Well, very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, well, like I said before, I'd like to apologize that we missed last week's show. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do the show next weekend due to prior arrangements, but we will try to find a time during the week to do the show, whether it's half an hour or an hour, because we are determined to do the show and inform you and entertain you at the same time. So once again, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or Monday, unfortunately, we have prior engagements for wrestling to attend to. So...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. SummerSlam is a wrestling event. It's going to be in Brooklyn, and we are wrestling fans. So we're going to take a little bit of time off. But we will find time to do the show during the week. And also, let me see. What else do I have to say? No, I'm very happy that we are back. Sean Black, Anisha B, thank you so much for coming back. And damn Anisha B for feeding me with Russian food that got me sick.
Yes, not my fault.
Ladies
so you do know something Russian food-wise is not vodka.
Vodka? No, vodka is too good. Vodka is not food. Vodka is a drinking substance. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, final thought. Just be careful. Don't be stupid. And just be careful out there. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, we gave you the 10 rules. Try to go by those 10 rules. Remember, shut the heck up. A, you have the right to remain silent. My son, I wish he could be silent from time to time, but he's too busy making noise. And be well, take care of yourself. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in on the Absolute Truth. We host with the most, the King of King himself, the High Rod with
Sean Black. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Mom. My mother's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday,
okay.
Mom.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mer. And also, I have to give a shout-out to Anitra's friend. I forgot his name, Anitra.
Oh, my coworker, Avi.
Yes, Avi, thank you for tuning in, and here's your shout-out. And I'm so sorry that you have to work with Anitra B, but, hey, that's why you have your special drinks after work. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, we gotta go. We will let you know next time we're doing the show. Take care, guys. Be safe.
Yes, and, of course, the pleasure
was all yours. Really, the pleasure was all mine because I'm the King of Kings. Ryan, do I have to say anything on the air? No? You don't want to say anything? Okay, good night, everyone. Take care.